Unitarian Universalists do not agree on everything. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think we might agree that we have officially reached interesting times. Now, you all know what I'm talking about, the stuff in the news. I'm not going to go over it here. It's enough to make anybody crazy. I know it makes me crazy. And that's not even the stuff that goes on in our personal life or our religious life. But there is a lot of conflict right now, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, a lot of turbulence. Now, in the past, times of great anxiety and uncertainty usually make church membership rise. I have a degree in religion and society. This is a pattern that colleges, that scholars study. When people are anxious, they tend to go to church more because church provides a place for empowerment, stability. It provides a place, when the waters are choppy, it provides a place where you can sort of get your rudder back into the water and get a purchase again. Find your place, find your direction. But all ministers that I talk to, whether it's this denomination or another one, they're all telling me the same thing. Church membership seems to be falling. Even with all of this uncertainty, it seems to be just every year getting a little lower. And that's really weird, okay? Because like I said, the church experience usually builds people up. Now, there's a few exceptions, but across the board, it seems to be pretty much every denomination, every organized religion. So last week, I was invited to and I attended a function that was part of the police and clergy partnership in Riverside. I do a lot of work with the Riverside UU. And the event was called Welcoming the Stranger. It was held at this enormous megachurch. I mean enormous. It was almost 50 acres. I was completely in awe. And the room that we met in was one of the smaller chapels. I swear, that room, you could have taken the entire church in Riverside and put it inside that room. And it was one of the smaller ones. Most of the people there were evangelical pastors. That's what it was a meeting of. With a few exceptions, there was one couple that was Catholic, and then there was my partner, and Kathy and I, and we were representing Unitarian Universalism. So after kind of calming down my awe at the size of this enormous facility, the next thing I was in awe of was they were talking about welcoming the immigrant. And first they talked about the anxiety that evangelicals often feel about having immigrants and new people come into their world. And then they had a series of Bible verses to prove that this was really the Christian thing to do. And then after that, they asked us all individually to say, now what are you going to do to help with this work? And it came to me and I was like, well, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. We've been doing this for years. And what I didn't tell them was that in 2013, there was a statement of conscience. And the very first lines, that's part of the UU tradition. It was at the GA. The first lines say, the belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person is core to Unitarian Universalism. Every person, no exceptions. As religious people, our principles call us to acknowledge the immigrant experience and to affirm and promote the flourishing of the human family. Now, that was affirmed in 2013, but here it is in 2018, 5 years later, and the evangelical churches are just now getting onto this page. They just discovered it like it's a new thing. I didn't see any rainbow flags up, but the fact that they were talking about this, I thought was a step in the right direction. Maybe rainbow flags in another 5 years, who knows? Now, reflecting on this experience over the last couple of days, I was thinking about why did these folks suddenly make this 180-degree turn? It probably means that they, too, are experiencing a loss of church membership. Now, the cynical part of me is saying, yeah, somebody's got to pay for that, those 48 acres, okay? So there must be some anxiety around if the church membership is falling. Maybe we need to pick up some new things. The non-cynical part of me says, okay, as Christians, they prayed about it, and they read their scripture and decided that welcoming immigrants into their lives was really the Christian thing to do. However, the whole time they talked, they never once mentioned immigrants of other faiths. They were only talking about Christian immigrants. Until I raised my hand and said, there are immigrants of other faiths. There are like Syrian refugees. Oh, yeah, well, them too. We can, you know, baby steps. At any rate, I am so proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. We are at the cutting edge, some would say the bleeding edge, of religious trends in America. We do things first, and other places follow. And this isn't by accident. This is actually in our DNA. We don't always think about this, but it's true. Now, you probably all know, maybe you don't, but a little bit of history. Unitarian Universalism is a merger of two churches in the United States. The Unitarian Church and the Universalist Church merged in 1961 to form the Unitarian Universalist Association. And I kind of think of this not so much as the two churches combined, as the UUA is the offspring of those other two churches, because they both exist. You can still find strictly Unitarian people and strictly Universalist people around, and congregations. But those two traditions are kind of our parents. And we as UUs, we've kind of got our own experience. We've kind of gone through our own growth. We have our own adult problems now. We have traits from both of our parents. And our parents have actually a lot in common, because just like humans who come together to make a baby, there's going to be some sort of commonality that draws them together. So I just want to talk a little bit about those two traditions and where they come from. Unitarians were not always called Unitarians. Unitarians were originally called either anti-Trinitarians or non-Trinitarians. And I remember working for this United Church of Christ minister when I was in college. And I mentioned I was going to go to UU, and he looked at me aghast. And out of all the things he could have said, you know what he said that he was shocked by? They're not Trinitarians. Okay. The word Unitarian first came into broad usage in 16th century in Poland, Lithuania, and Transylvania. But the idea of Unitarianism is actually much older. The idea actually springs from what is known as the Apostolic Age. And the Apostolic Age is a fancy word for the first generation after the historic crucifixion of Jesus. the very, very first Christians, but it's kind of the first 300 years. Now, whether you personally identify, I don't know if you personally identify as Christian or not, or how you feel about Christianity, one thing that is absolutely sure is that these people who were the first Christians were a very traumatized group of people. Their leader had been horribly executed, and they were survivors of what is known as the Jewish-Roman War. In those times, in that area of the world, people were Jewish or Gentile. Gentile literally means not Jewish. So you're either Jewish or you're not Jewish. The Romans were solidifying and building their stranglehold over the world, over the known world at that time. So they were reaching out, they were getting control, they were trying to keep control. Keeping control wasn't always easy. It was a big conflict. There was a lot of killing involved, as you know, the story of the crucifixion is about. Also, there was the fall of the second Jewish temple in year 70 Common Era. The Romans, after a series of riots by the Jews, the Romans destroyed the temple, burned it to the ground, and killed every Jew they could find. And those that were not killed escaped and caused the Jewish diaspora, which they ended up going to Europe, and there's a whole history. We all know that history of the Holocaust, and even today, this is all part of that long history. It all started with the fall of the Second Temple. It was horrific. People were traumatized, and people ended up on two sides of this conflict. You either sided with the Jews or you sided with the Romans. And it broke up families. It broke up communities. And out of all of this came the early Christians, because some of them were Jews and some of them were Gentiles. Some of them were on one side, some of them were on the other. They came together and they worshiped together and they started a new tradition. By embracing Christianity, they rejected whatever they had before, whether they were Jew or polytheistic Roman. They rejected that. And so the first couple of generations really struggled. What are we going to be? Are we going to be monotheists? Are we going to be polytheists? What are we going to do? And out of these struggles came Trinitarianism. It's sort of monotheist, but not really. And also out of that, there was a group of people who didn't subscribe to to Trinitarianism, the idea that God had three faces. However it is they say it, I never understood it. I've studied it at length, I still don't understand it. Because we are not Trinitarians. But they argued about it, and they fought about it, and those who didn't agree were labeled heretics, and a lot of them died. A lot of them were persecuted to the point of death. Because that's what they did back then. They killed you if you didn't believe the same way. If you wanted to eat your ice cream and your Oreos, and nobody else was eating ice cream and Oreos, you could be killed for that. So Unitarianism, or non-Trinitarianism, kind of got suppressed and pushed down, and books were burned. And as ideas do, when they're suppressed, they just go underground. They don't usually go away. And it sort of stayed underground, and people talked about it in hushed tones. For 1,300 years, until Martin Luther published his 95 Theses, or the Disputation of the Power of Indulgences in 1517, and opened the door for the Protestant Reformation. Because when all of a sudden Reformation opened the door to all kinds of strange ideas, like people could read the Bible themselves in their own language. And one of the strange ideas was Unitarianism. The first Unitarian, or some of the first Unitarians, were also, again, suppressed. Michael Servetus, an early thinker and writer, rejected Trinitarianism by saying that there was no basis for it in the Bible, which there isn't. He was executed by being burned alive. John Calvin, the father of Calvinism, was actually responsible for that. He called what Servetus proclaimed as execrable blasphemies of denying the Trinity and infant baptism, and called for him to be burned alive. Catherine, the wife of Melchior Weigel in Poland, was burned in Krakow for apostasy, for sharing Unitarian views. Unitarians were accused with being in cahoots with Muslims. Somehow they were equated with Islam. This is long before the First Amendment in our Constitution protects us and freedom of religion. And it's one of the reasons why we have it, because this is the history that early Americans remembered well. However, even as this was happening, the Unitarians got this reputation for being liberal and accepting of others and practicing radical hospitality. That was what people thought of the Unitarians, and by the way, burned them. On the other side of our spiritual family tree, we have the Universalists. Now, Universalism literally means the salvation of all souls. It means that nobody is damned. Everybody is saved already, which is not an easy thing to sell when you have a church that their main product is salvation. However, many people believe that the first Universalist, and I agree with this, was the theologian Origen of Alexandria. Now, Origen was one of these first century guys too. His parents were pagans. His parents named him Origen, which literally means child of Horus. But his dad converted to early Christianity, which the early Christians is not, it was a very radical movement. It's like any radical religious movement in our time was very radical at that time. His dad was put to death for his early Christian beliefs. He was beheaded. Origen himself became a prolific writer. He also became Christian, but he believed in free will, pacifism, and the universal salvation of all. And for this, he was often attacked by other early Christian theologians. He was severely tortured then by the Romans because he was a Christian. So the early Christians were attacking him. The Romans arrested him and tortured him so badly that he died years later. And in the year 400, this is after his death, Pope Theophilus named Origen the Hydra of Heresies for his work on theology, textual criticism, biblical exegesis, hermeneutics, philosophical theology, preaching, and spirituality, which he deemed heretical. And one of the things Origen did was he took six translations of scripture and he put them side by side so the people could compare them, and that was heretical. That was the big thing he got in trouble for. Now, not everyone agrees that he was a true Universalist, but I want him in our camp because he was intellectual, he had a logical approach to spirituality and religion, and his belief in free will and pacifism, I think he would fit in right there in that empty seat. The spirit of Origen is right there. I can see him. Now, the reason I bring these folks up is that they lived in extremely stressful times. This was not an easy time. This was a time when you could be arrested and burned for your beliefs. And not everybody even knew what to believe. I mean, it changed from week to week. Oh, this week, this is in favor. We better believe, oh no, that's out of favor now. We have to pick this up. If we don't, we could die. The early apostolic period, as well as the Protestant Reformation, were extremely stressful times. The Protestant Reformation brought a lot of also burning at the stake, a lot of killing between denominations, between the Catholics and the Protestants. Wars. Ireland is finally in a state of peace, but it stems from the Protestant Reformation. Fortunately, though, as stressful as our time is, we do not have to worry about being burned at the stake for our beliefs, at least not this week. However, while I was there at the megachurch with all the evangelical pastors, I noticed that one woman there kept trying to get me to say the words, "In Jesus' name." She kept saying, "It's Jesus that's doing this, right? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's in Jesus' name, right?" And I kept... If you look at websites from some of these churches, we have been called a cult. Unitarian Universalism has been called a cult. It has been called anti-Christian in every sense. That's a direct quote. We've been called a false religion, and we have been called a scam. And yet, 5 years ago, we were already welcoming the immigrant, and they're following us down that road. We're just the first. We're not evil, we're just the first. We are the ones out there first, who first demonstrated for marriage equality, and now it's a reality. You should all give yourself a round of applause for that. We have always been the first to come out for peace in times of war. We are the ones that stand out there and demonstrate for peace. We are the ones that demonstrate and come out for tolerance in times of bigotry. We are the ones that stand up and say, love is love. We are the ones who say, Black Lives Matter. We are the ones who say, climate change is real, and that's going to come around again. We are the ones who say that no human is illegal, that all genders are whole, holy, and good, and that women have and have always had agency over our own bodies. And I would add men too. All of this comes from our seven principles, whether or not we want to say in Jesus' name. But I believe that we would not even exist if it wasn't for our fourth principle, which is, I think, what holds us together and keeps us going. Our fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We keep asking ourselves, what's the best food? And we keep accepting the fact that some foods are healthy and some foods are not. We're not going to condemn each other because we like carrots instead of cauliflower. Be proud. We are the thinkers, we are the dreamers, and the heretics. And in comparison to some of the megachurches, we may be small, but we are mighty.